Happy Monday, everybody.
Hello.
How are you, Danielle?
I'm lovely. How are you?
Out of 5 stars, I would say I'm 5 out of 5.
Wow.
That's not true. I'm about a 1.5 because of my, I injured my neck last week and I'm in like pain right now and it's kind of struggling to hold up the mic. But I really just wanted to make a 5-star joke because that's who we're talking about today.
Oh, I didn't even get it.
Seriously?
I was just like, wow, you're a restaurant that people go to on Yelp.
Well, while that is also true, we are in fact here today to talk about a group called 5-Star.
Yes.
I'm going to refrain from calling them a band because, I mean, I don't know, what constitutes a band? I guess you could be a band if you're just singers.
I like group for just singers.
Yeah, I think group is more fair.
Yeah.
So I've loved 5-Star for years. They're one of these groups that just, when I was getting into 80s music that was more offbeat, when I got into about middle school and Napster became a thing and I just started like Googling these weirdos GeoCities pages and, you know, what's some cool 80s music? I just remember finding 5-Star.
Yeah.
And they also showed up on a compilation CD that my dad bought me when I was little. It was called Heartthrob Hits, which I still credit for knowing some of the underground 80s music that I know. It was a good collection. Like, it was not your like really boring garden variety, like here's Tiffany and Debbie Gibson. Like,
yeah,
it would like Glenn Medeiros and Jack Wagner were on there.
Oh yes, I love Jack Wagner.
Stacy Q's Two of Hearts was on there, which also started my lifelong love for Stacy. But 5-Star was on there too, and that's I'm pretty sure that was the first time I would have heard them.
Really? I don't know. I think mine was in the Napster phase. I somehow went across one of their songs, which we'll get to. And for years, that was the only one I ever knew by them. I thought they were like just, they had one song, and that was it.
So let's talk about their origins. They are from Romford, which is in Essex in the United Kingdom. They are British. Yes. Their names are Stedman, Lorraine, Doris, Delroy, which I love, and Denise. Denise, lead singer Denise. They are the Pearson family.
Yeah, it's a family band.
They were assembled by their father, who was Buster Pearson. He was a session musician. He, it appears, was from Jamaica. And was a session musician there, and he moved to the UK in the 1960s, and then he started and or was the head of a reggae label in the UK called K&B, because reggae, I don't know if you knew this, but reggae is like, it was huge in the UK.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's still like, there's this whole reggae subculture, like it became reggae, then it was dub music, and now it's like dubstep music, but like all that is from the UK.
Yeah, and if you look at a lot of old UK charts from like the 80s and stuff.
Rather not so, from the UK. It's from from the Caribbean. It's big in the UK.
But there's so many reggae infused songs that were big in the UK. Weren't big here, but they're all over the charts.
Absolutely. He also owned Tent Records, which was more of an R&B and dance label. And this is what he would assemble his group and sign them to, which, I think we can safely call this nepotism. I noticed in an interview with Denise from just a few years ago that she did with the BBC, she said that her sister Doris did the dance routines for the group, that Stedman did the costumes, and she wrote the vocal harmonies.
Really?
So, yeah, I'm not sure what Delroy and Lorraine were up to, but...
See, here's my thing with a lot of 5-Star, especially when you watch, like, the videos and you see them. They're not really... I don't think there need to be that many people up there.
Yeah.
Like, it's...
I think there probably just were 5 kids, and they were like, well, okay, all 5 of you can be in the band.
Yeah, it was just
but
like...
But I agree. It's like, it's mostly Denise.
I mean, I'm glad... Yeah, it's Denise, and then some other people behind her.
Yeah, like, they don't
Sharon
even really...
Sharon and the Prophets... She could be taking all of it.
It's
really
true. It's kind of true. Like, they do some nice harmonies and they sound nice on the backing vocals. But yeah, it really is kind of like Denise and the 4-Stars would have been a better name for the group. It's true.
Uh-huh.
Denise was only 15 years old when they released their first single. She noted in the same interview, her dad was super strict. None of the girls in the group were allowed to have any boyfriends until they were 21 years old.
Well, it's because he needed them to focus on work so he could get that moolah.
But it also made me, I was like, I wonder if he let the boys date, because that's a little shitty.
Ooh, I don't know.
But you're going to love this. She noted that she got her first kiss at age 19.
Oh my God, who did she kiss?
From
I'm going to puke.
Matt Goss, who was in Bros, the group Bros. That was her first kiss. Bros was a British boy band, for those who don't know. I think there were only 2 of them, I think. Matt and other guy whose name I can't remember. But yeah, that was Denise's first kiss at 19 years old. Isn't that cute?
Oh, wow.
She Ross noted funny when she talked about Stedman doing the costume, she said, "We used to watch Dynasty in Dallas, so that's where the shoulder pads came from."
Same girl.
Right?
Me too.
She also said that her dad was very, very, very good to them, bought them Lamborghinis and Ferraris at the height of their fame, that she saw a Lamborghini in a magazine and was like, "Oh, that's cool." And her dad bought her one because she said that he thought it was very good to show successful black kids. He thought it was very important for
I was reading something about them in the 80s about how they were really lavish and it was like all over the tabloids because they really showed it off. Like they bought like this crazy estate and everything. And
yeah.
It was like, I don't know. I was just like, were they that successful?
Yeah, that's true. She did mention that too, that they bought kind of, I don't know if it was a mansion per se, but they did. They bought a big, big house and moved to it in London from their Romford home. So let's talk about their first single that came out in 1983. This was pre any albums or anything. It was called Problematic. And I think listening to, or having already heard this song and then reading that about Buster, their dad, that he kind of had the reggae ska background, not surprising, because this is a very like reggae ska influenced pop
song.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like, this is my favorite of all the ones we're talking about. I always like the first single the best. I love this song.
Yeah, it's really cute.
I just love it. Like, oh, I love the beat. I just...
It's very early 80s British
pop. It's very like the era of Thriller. It very much sounds that way. It's that kind of...
Interesting.
It's like that R&B chart thing where it's like Thriller was the thing that made it. But the rest of the R&B charts sounded exactly like it. This sounds like that to me. I love it.
So for anybody who is a fan of that, by the way, I wanted to note that it did get released digitally just a few years ago, in 2011, I think. So you can actually pick that song up digitally if you were into that. So the next two singles would end up on Five Star's debut album, which didn't come out till 1985, but neither of these charted. They were both a flop. The first one was Hide and Seek, which we're just going to kind of blow by because it's pretty forgettable. But then there's Crazy. Again, did not chart, but this is where we kind of get the first look at like Five Star. Like they shot a video for this and we get this look at them with their matching outfits and their coordinated dancing and whatnot. Very like mid-tempo R&B pop song.
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, it's like just, it's very bubblegummy. It's very cute.
Very bubblegummy.
They like dress exactly like, you know, if someone has like an 80s day at work.
Yeah.
And like, you know, that thing that every person wears for 80s day at work.
Yeah,
that's Five Star.
It's so true.
Era. Like, literally Five Star. Like, they look
it's
like
true.
They're
whenever,
going to an 80s party.
Whenever there was an 80s day in like high school or college, it was just like girls would like wear bright socks and like maybe a windbreaker. And it's kind of true.
And then like a headband in your hair with like big hair.
Yep.
That's it.
That's Five Star.
That's your 80s day costume.
Also, you know, I love to bring up lyrics that I love for why I listen to 80s music. This is definitely one of those Jesus. Super 80s lyrics. I don't need my head examined. It's my heart that's got the injury. Love it.
That's what you should have said when you went to urgent care for your neck. I can't concentrate.
So July of 1985, we finally get Five Star's first album, Luxury of Life. Big hit in the UK, number 12, and actually did chart in the US as well, hit number 57 in the US.
Hmm.
Those last two songs that we mentioned were indeed included on this record. And we've reached the track that was on the aforementioned Heartthrob Hits compilation that I got when I was a kid. The first Five Star song I ever heard was All Fall Down, and I still do love this song. It's not my favorite Five Star song, but I do. It's up there.
This video starts a trend, I noticed, of them wearing matching shirts that have large fives on it.
Yes,
just
the
in
sweaters.
Case you forgot who it is. There it is.
Yeah. I need one of those sweaters with the giant five. I would totally wear that.
Exactly.
This was, again, a big hit in the UK, number 15. Actually charted on the Hot 100 at number 65 and at number 6 on the dance charts. So this was a pretty big club hit here.
It's a really good little dance song. I think, still very bubble poppy. It's like, you know, it's all like that, but I think it's the vocals that do it. Like, if you had a different way of singing it, this would be like a really killer, like, dance hit, I think.
Oh, for sure.
But
yeah.
It's just the vocals.
Slightly different production. That's a good point. Yeah. I think I can hear that in my head too. A slightly different production that would make this almost like a high energy song.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I can totally hear that.
To me, I hear the vocals, and I think that changes too. Like, as Five Star gets older and they get more mature, they start going a little bit harder. Denise does.
For sure.
With the vocals. So it sounds less poppy.
Right, but this is we're still very cutesy Five Star here.
Yeah.
I do love a good Superfluous like synth clap sound, and it is everywhere. They did not spare us on the synth claps here.
They always dress extra and they sound extra.
Yes. We should note, by the way, before moving on, that Five Star has a massive, massive singles discography. They released a lot of songs, and we are certainly not going to talk about all of them today. But if you like what you're hearing, their albums are worth checking out because they are very consistent. So they do have plenty of good songs we're not going to talk about. But moving on to one of my faves, Let Me Be the One.
It's good.
Yeah, number 18 hit in the UK. And again, number 9 hit on the U.S. dance charts.
Oh, yeah.
Which is interesting because it's a bit more down tempo than I'll Fall Down.
I don't know. I think it's a good little funky jam. I love it. I mean, this is like, I don't know if it's the classic Five Star song, but I think it's the one everyone knows the most, right?
No, I have opinions on what the classic Five Star song is.
Okay.
We'll get there very shortly. But I also love a good synth cowbell. And much like they did not spare us on the good synth clap and I'll Fall Down, the synth cowbell is everywhere and Let Me Be the One. All right. System Addict.
This is when the 80s go wrong.
Boy. Really? Do you not like this one?
No, I love it.
I was going to say, I thought you would be all about this one.
Oh, my God, I love it. Like,
yeah, this is a huge hit in the UK. Did not chart in the US. This was a number 3 hit in the UK.
Like, I was sitting here listening to it while I was working the other day, and I wanted to just, like, change my email signature to the lyrics, typing on a keyboard, what's happening to me?
Yeah, right? Right? Like, put that on my tombstone. Thank you.
It's so dumb and good. I love it.
But so relevant, right?
Oh, yeah,
song is still totally relevant 30 years later. Here we are.
Yeah, I don't know if they meant to do that, but
I think they did. Five Star were geniuses. They knew what they were doing.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's a song about being addicted to technology. And, did you see the video to this one?
Yes.
They are like, I can't tell if they're supposed to be like in a spaceship or like an airlock.
It kind of looks like Star Trek.
Yeah, but they're also like dressed like pirates. Like, I wasn't really sure what was going on.
I think like
mixed messages, Five Star. Mixed messages. Also, just this occurred to me. I don't know how many times I've heard this song before this, but it never occurred to me till I was listening to prepare for this show. How many people are there, do you think, out there who think that the title of this song is just Systematic? Like the word Systematic.
I think that's what they were playing off of, and I didn't realize that they were playing off of it until I like said it out loud.
Right.
Yeah, it's Systematic.
I've had more than one moment like that on this show. Like,
well, lip sync.
You know, yeah, lip sync. Yes. But you know, my all-time example of that though is: did you ever play Sonic the Hedgehog when you were little?
Of course not. I'm a loser.
Okay. Well, his buddy is named Miles, but Miles's last name is Prower. And I never got it until like way years later as an adult.
Miles per hour. Oh my God.
Yeah. Because he's a fast little fox. Isn't that cute? So yeah, there you go. Systematic system addict. I am a systematic system addict.
I'm systematically system addict.
Yep. In August of 1986, Five Star would release their second album, Silk and Steel. This was a number one record in the UK. This was, however, despite being a number one record in the UK, their last album to chart in the United States, only peaking at number 80. This song, Can't Wait Another Minute, which was the first single off of Silk and Steel, I think this was their highest charting single in the US. Still didn't crack top 40, but it hit number 41. And I believe this was the highest they would chart in the U.S. It was also a number 5 U.S. dance hit and a number 7 hit in the U.K. They were huge in the U.K. at this point.
Yeah.
Just huge. I actually put this song on a compilation CD that I gave my first boyfriend on Valentine's Day in 2003.
Wow.
Right?
But
it's a cute song.
You should have given him. You should have given him a baseball jersey with a 5 on it. Because now we've moved on to baseball jerseys.
In retrospect.
Well, I think we know why that ended.
Yeah, that's why. When my heart is reaching for you, and my love is getting stronger, there's an urgency needing me. I can't take it any longer. No, okay, so earlier you mentioned like the signature Five Star song, like what you think it is. To me, I think this is it.
Rain or Shine?
Rain or Shine, yeah.
Really?
This was their biggest hit in the UK, and I've noticed that just like if you pull up clips of them when they've done interviews or like, oh, hey, like remember the 80s compilation shows, whatever, like this seems to always be the song that they sneak in behind the archival Five Star footage.
Really? I never even thought of it
like that. This was their highest charting song in the UK, in their homeland. And it's just a cute song. It's a really cute song.
Like, I had only heard this like once before I never really heard this song that much. I have a question. Does she actually sing the lyrics from Manana to Manana?
I'm so glad you brought that up because I was going to. I love that so much.
I mean, like, it just left me with a lot of questions because I'm like, I'm basically like, I'm going to love you forever, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But like from manana to manana means I'm not going to love you till tomorrow, but it actually also ends to tomorrow. So like, I'm going to love you tomorrow, but then we'll have to talk.
I will love you until the day after tomorrow. I'm going to put a more positive spin on that. You know, with pop music, I think that redundancy is always kind of the tiger trap, right? Like, it can be very difficult to be original when writing pop lyrics because people don't want deep pop lyrics. And so I think that the fact that they found a creative way for her to say, I'm going to love you tomorrow and the day after and go on and on and on, because I've never heard it phrased like that in any other song. That's why it sticks out. And you remember that.
I don't know. That's great songwriting. I'm very precise on that stuff. So, like, if I'm telling someone I'm going to love them from manana till you know, manana, I mean manana. It's just manana. Call me Sunday. I ain't answering.
All right, y'all, this is the jam.
Okay, see,
this is the five-star jam.
This is my, like, one of three songs I think is their signature, not Rain or Shine.
Interesting.
But, like, okay. If I say yes, like, don't know. I've heard that so many times in places that I shouldn't hear it.
This
like
song,
not on purpose.
This song gets 5 stars out of 5 for sure. We should have ranked each of these songs out of 5 stars. I don't, dude, this song is such a bop. This is so good.
It's so good. Like, and I love the line, if love is the question, the answer is yes.
Hell yes.
Like, it's dumb again, but
the music good. Video is very, again, kind of strange. They're like vampires in a abandoned haunted mansion. I don't know. Very weird with the tone of the song, but there is another video for this that we're going to put on the playlist. You've got to go watch the Soul Train dancers doing this on the Soul Train line, including Miss Rosie Perez throwing it the F down in some of my favorite dance moves I've ever seen in my life. I used to practice her moves in this, like to this song. I used to watch this just on repeat, just her one little part, and just practice those moves because I thought they were so cool.
Yeah, it is pretty dope.
So is this, can I guess, is this one of the other ones that you think is a 5-star signature? Really?
No.
Interesting. Okay. So yeah, we're going to talk about it anyway.
Yeah, we are. We're going to talk about it.
Stay Out of My Life is what it's called.
So here's the thing. Like, I like to make fun of how 5-star dresses and how silly their videos are and how just like unbelievably extra it all is. They take it to a new level with these red sequin suits in this video. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you what. Like, I am shopping to get that right now. That is going to be my look. That's my Christmas outfit.
Oh, my God. What a great Christmas outfit it would be.
Oh, my God, right?
You are so right.
My family always says I'm not festive enough.
5-star at the holidays.
And, like, here we go. Like,
I love it. How did 5-star never do a Christmas album, by the way? That just occurred to me. Like, how was that never a thing? It just seems like something that should have happened, but didn't. I don't know. This is definitely a notable shift in maturity, I think, for them.
Yes.
This is the first time we ever hear guitars in a 5-star single from what I could remember.
Yeah, to me it's a lot straighter R&B. It's got a little guitar weird riff in it.
Yeah.
And like, the vocals are less bubblegummy. We're starting to get the shift there.
I have the same note. It's not so teen pop puppy love. It's way more of an adult relationship kind of sounding.
Yeah, it sounds more mature.
Which is interesting because we're only a year later, remember?
Yeah, but the 80s move quickly.
One more we wanted to touch on from this record, The Slightest Touch. That opening synth line is like way ahead of its time.
I agree. I really like this song.
This song opens with this very deep, like, I would even call it like an acid house, like, bass line. It's just a little synth motif, but it's way ahead of its time. Just way ahead of its time. You just wouldn't hear that noise again until the 90s. This is another one I think that folks see as a 5-star signature, like British folks who were into them in the 80s. Mm-hmm. It's just one of those that people seem to, as soon as they think 5-star, they think Slightest Touch and Rain or Shine.
It's a really fun dance song. The vocals are mature again, so it's a pretty good shift.
Moving on to 5-star's third album now, which came out in September of 1987. So they're still being very consistent at this point. An album a year, which would basically last through the rest of the 80s. They were dropping an album a year.
They're busy little bees.
They are indeed. First single of, the album was called Between the Lines. I don't think I said that. This was a number 7 record in the UK. Again, still, they're doing quite well. The decline would kind of start on this record for them, but they, at this point, they're still very popular. Mm-hmm. They drop Whenever You're Ready, which is the first single, number 11 hit. It occurred to me, again, I didn't think about this, but I put this on another mix CD for somebody else when I was in college. I did not realize that I like my mix CDs for romantic endeavors over the years had been so 5-star centric, but there you go.
Well, I mean, I don't think I've ever made a mix for somebody. Not romantically anyway, like friends.
You should make a romantic mix. It's a very cute
thing.
And you should absolutely put a 5-star song on it.
Be like Falco.
Yes.
I would
5-star. That can be the title of the mix.
I would use mine as like a weapon. They're kind of adults now. They look like adults. They're starting to sound more like adults. It's very 80s, whatever you hear on the 80s R&B charts.
Yes.
Just like that.
This is like, I often say that 1987 is my favorite year all time of music, and songs like this is why.
Yeah. It's good, but it's still like synth pop. It's pretty good.
Very, yeah, synth pop R&B, perfect fusion. I'm not about to let you let just slip away. We both know something has gone wrong. But let me tell you, we're gonna be alright. It won't be easy, but I'll be strong. I'll wait for you, I'll be there. You can count on me. I'll be there. Whenever you're ready, I'll be around. Whenever you're ready. So I think this is probably my second favorite 5-star song ever.
This is the first one I ever heard.
Oh, okay.
This is probably the one I've heard more than any of them.
Number 16 hit in the UK. It's called Strong as Steel. And I don't know how I never knew this, but I loved this song so much. And then I'm doing research again for this show. And lo and behold, look who wrote it.
Yeah.
Ms. Diane Warren. Had no idea.
Yeah, like I found that out like a few years ago because I was just looking at something Diane Warren and I was like, oh, she wrote Strong as Steel? But then I like listened to it and I was like, I don't know, it's structured like a Diane Warren song. I love Strong as Steel. I love this song. It's a perfect Diane Warren ballad. Ooh, our love is one thing. That just keeps on getting better. The more that
I just love Denise's vocals on that song. I think it's her finest vocal performance of all 5-star songs. Yeah. And she just beautiful voice.
It helps when you have a greatly structured Diane Warren song too.
Yeah, I mean,
it just
that
helps.
What a great marriage that was. So Rock the World was 5-star's next record in August of 1988. We start to see their decline here. And it was kind of a steep one because this would actually be their last charting album anywhere, not even just in the UK. This hit number 17 in the UK, but this was their last charting album to date. The first single was called Another Weekend. And just curious, when you started listening to this and Denise is doing the whole shake, 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 shake thing right at the top, did that remind you of any other former offbeat trackers?
No, I was too distracted by the leather. I was like,
made me think of Jimmy Ray.
Oh,
remember,
shit.
Shake it, shake it, shake it, shake it, shake it, shake it. And then here's Denise doing the same thing.
I'm distracted by the image change of like, not only are we adults now, but we're badasses in leather. And like, Denise has this blonde hair.
Yeah,
and
like it's very like Whitney Houston, I want to dance with somebody hair, right?
When that shirt came on, I'm sitting there looking at it and you've got like Denise with this weird, like big old blonde hair and her makeup is too light. So I was like, how do they have a white woman in their family? I thought it was a white woman.
Yikes.
And I was super confused. And then I was like, oh shit, this is just a bad image change. That's all it is.
Yeah. This album, I'm not a huge fan of overall. I think just because I think the songs are pretty forgettable. And I think that's especially evident if this was like their first single and this was kind of the best thing they had. It was like, okay.
I really like it though. I mean, it's fun to listen to.
Sure. I mean, all of 5-star is fun to listen to, but some
I don't
of it's,
need to listen to it again.
Some of it's more memorable than others. Mm-hmm. This would be on the less memorable
I
side,
agree.
I think. And just so we talk about one more track from this album, we're going to talk about the title track, Rock My World.
Super forgettable.
Yeah, super forgettable.
But I enjoyed it, forgot about it.
I do love the whole, you don't get mad, you just get even.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It's just, I hate that.
Yeah, it's like, again, it's the whole trying to be a badass thing. Whatever.
Yeah.
Five Star would release a greatest hits compilation in 1989, which, let's be fair, that was deserved at this point because they had a lot of hits.
Exactly.
Because some people release a greatest hits album and you're like, really, Living in a Box? Did you need to do that? But with Five Star, it was warranted.
Why is that so funny? Really Living in a Box.
I mean, yeah, I think we need shirts that just say that. Really Living in a Box?
Okay, I'm sorry. Focus. Oh,
yes. They released a new single off of the Greatest Hits album. I love when people do that. That's one of my fave things. With Every Heartbeat is what it's called. I love how they're trying to be like older. You know, they're still trying to grow their image. Why are they back in a school in the video?
Yeah.
Hello?
I wonder if this was like, when I listened to this, I'm like, okay, cool. We're back on this bubblegummy kind of fun sound. And I was like, I don't know, like maybe that was like an old song that was left over that never really made it onto something.
I thought the same thing. I'm really glad you say that because I thought the same thing.
Like
I was like, I bet this was a cut off of the Between the Lines of Silk and Steel record. Yep, I agree with you.
Yeah, it was a little weird. But
I will say though, I think Denise finally does look like an adult here in the video.
Well, it helps that a couple albums ago she finally got her braces off.
Yeah, gosh, that was awfully distracting.
I was in there watching videos, waiting for those braces to come off. Like, come on,
yeah,
Denise.
But she actually looks like a woman here.
Oh yeah, finally.
And yeah, definitely. I think I will never understand the decision to put this in a school if you're trying to shed the teeny bopper image. But she does in the scenes where she's like sitting at a, which is kind of funny because she's like sitting at a bar and like she could have very easily like had a cocktail in front of her, but it looks like it's a milkshake. It was like they're still just, they couldn't let the teeny bopper thing go. Five Star did drop another album in 1990, self-titled, and we're going to talk about Treat Me Like a Lady, which was only a number 54 hit in the UK. They're definitely trying to go for a more New Jack Swing thing here.
Like, the video, the look, the sound, the dancing, I was like, is this Milli Vanilli? It was a Milli Vanilli everything to me when I heard this.
That and is really funny.
It. Like, that just looks like it's that whole look. 1990 is probably right after it.
Very much. But it's very like Bobby Brown. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like it. It's fine. Like, it's very good. I enjoy listening to that music.
And it would be weird to glaze over their 1991 album Shine without talking about it. So we're only going to talk about the title track. This did not chart anywhere at all. And I'll be honest, I don't really understand why. Not because Shine is like a great song or a standout or anything, but to me, it sounded exactly like Karen White. And yeah. everybody loved Karen White at that time, sort of. I mean, I guess they were a little bit later than Karen White, but...
But do we need more than one Karen White?
Oh, well, okay.
Maybe that's
You raise a good point. Is. Karen White was a fine Karen White. You're right.
Yes, she was very good at being Karen White. But I don't know, like, this song cracked me up because, you know, reading about how much they spent and, like, all of their crazy, lavish lifestyles, and they start a song with "In This Material World, I Don't Need a Lot." Come on.
Come on. Yeah, I'd say that...
You need more than love from your boys.
Clearly. The funds had depleted at this point, so...
You got a Lamborghini from your dad.
Yeah, maybe they were getting a new outlook on life by now.
Very
maybe
silly.
Maybe the shine was very like, you know, the epiphany.
I just feel like maybe these people were like digging the beat at the beginning and then they just hear that line and they're like, girl.
And we definitely wanted to talk about the their last real proper five-star record, Heart and Soul. Love this track. It's so the mid-90s name of this track is so funny to me. It's called I Love You, parentheses, for sentimental reasons,
Here's
which I don't entirely understand.
Is it like, okay, here's the thing with this song. I turned it on and I like see the video and it's stupid. And then finally the dudes speak, but it's like weird, smooth 90s, like weird, sexy R&B speak. Yep. I think I turned it off in 6 seconds. I was like, I cannot do this. So,
yeah, they finally, I mean, they really changed their sound for this record. Like this is the first notable shift in their sound, like in their entire career.
This is what, like 94, right?
1994. They really embraced, yeah. It is very 1994 R&B.
Yeah, my thing about this song is it, since I could not listen to more than possibly 10 seconds, is this a cover of like the old I Love You for Sentimental Reasons?
Is there an old song called that? I didn't know that.
Yes, yeah, it's like an old standard.
Oh, well, let's find out.
I mean, I think it would have to be. That would be a pretty
It is large, indeed. Look at that.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Written in 1945 for the Inks.
For sentimental reasons.
It was written by one of the guys in the Inkspots. I friggin' love the Inkspots.
Yeah. I mean, it's a fine
I did
song,
not know this was a cover.
But I don't think that this needs to have happened. I can't do it. Like, it's too much of a shift for me. I can't ever hear it again.
Yeah, I mean, it's... I appreciate that I think they successfully grew their sound a bit late, but they did grow their sound. But yeah, not for me. I agree. And we just had to toss in I Give You Give as one last one because they finally made a house song.
Oh, yeah. It's super house. I don't know if I ever need to hear it again. But, I mean, it's not bad.
No, it's not. It's worth noting. I mean, Five Star, like I said, finally graduated their sound into the 90s. They got it right at the end.
There are a lot of songs that sound like this from that same era that are not as good as this. One of them is Pregnant in the video.
Is she really?
Yeah, I noticed that. Because she wasn't up dancing with them, but she's sitting on the couch in like silk pajamas, like rubbing her belly. It's fucking weird.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I did not notice that.
It's fucking weird. I was just like, so I was a little distracted watching the video because I'm like, is that girl knocked up? And then like, it was. And the rest of them were dancing, but she didn't dance because pregnant lady can't move. So you got to have her on the couch rubbing her belly in the silk pajamas. Anyway, we've moved on past that, I think. You feel so good.
So I wasn't really sure if I wanted to bring this up, but I think it's worth noting. There is a TV clip involving Five Star that's apparently very notorious in the United Kingdom. This is from an appearance on, they were on a show called Going Live. Okay. So this was probably first, second album era. They're okay. Pretty young in this clip. But it's like a call-in show where people can call and like speak directly to the artists and ask them questions and whatnot.
Oh boy.
So they're on this show called Going Live. And
Was it live?
It was live.
Okay.
So I'll just play the clip.
Okay, Elliot, what's your question?
I'd like to ask Five Star where they're so fucking crap, they're fucking...
Thanks very much, Elliot. Nice to hear from you. I'm sure Tammy would have made a lot more sense. Let's move on to...
Someone was not a Five Star fan.
Thanks very much, Elliot.
Yeah. But, you know, I
that's another t-shirt. Really living in a box. And then, thanks very much, Elliot.
Thanks very much, Elliot. So, yeah, that's a thing that happened. Again, that came up in my research for the show. I didn't know about that. But it's apparently pretty notorious in the UK for having happened. So Five Star effectively broke up after Heart and Soul. All five members, though, did reunite to perform in 2012 because they said periodically in interviews in that downtime that especially Denise would say that she wasn't really interested in getting it back together unless all five of them were going to be there. And so they finally did, and they performed together again in 2012, including a performance on Celebrity Big Brother, which we will put in the show notes on our website for this one, where they sang System Addict and Rain or Shine. And then what was the third one they did? It would have been, let's see, Slightest Touch.
Ah.
Yeah, they still sound great, still look great, have all the moves. It's all there. Lorraine has since parted ways with the group. I'm not sure why, but they do still perform as a four.
Do they still get along as a family?
As a four banger. Yeah. I mean,
like,
as far as I know.
Families like break up in a family group. I always wonder, it's like, how much is the breakup? Like,
right.
Do you still go to Christmas?
You're right. they just not bring it up.
It's just very awkward. It's not like any other thing. I don't know.
So that's Five Star. I wasn't really sure if I wanted to bring this up, but do you think that the intent was to do a Jackson 5-esque thing?
I don't know if it's, I think they were inspired by, clearly. I mean, they were young.
Because again, that's something else that came up a lot. People would compare them to the Jackson 5, and I'm like, really though? Because I just see them as a very different thing.
I don't know. They're different in a way, but I mean, it's, the music industry was different from when the Jackson 5 started versus when Five Star started. But I think because they were young, they were going to be bubblegum pop to begin with. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not going to go crazy. I don't know. I think that they're very different, but I think that they come from the same thing. You can't deny that.
I think a much fairer comparison would be to compare them to the Jets, but I've not really heard anybody make that. But the Jets and Five Star kind of came up at the same time. So probably it would have been the other way around. I would say the Jets probably would have been more inspired by Five Star if they had known about them.
Yeah.
Because the Jets' first record was 1985, wasn't it? And Five Star was out in 83. So, but I think that's a much fairer comparison.
I think it is too. But I think, like, just if Five Star had not been put together by their dad, that would not be as much Jackson 5. It's the way they came together.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah.
Well, I love them. It's weird because they had all of these hits, but I feel like they're not a group that you hear about very much. You don't, you know, you hear about classic family bands or boy bands or girl groups or whatever, and Five Star's name just never seems to come up, and I don't understand it because they had so many hits.
But you'll hear it every once in a while. Like, I heard Strong as Steel at Kroger.
Yeah, that's one that has lingered on USAC radio. But just as a whole, I don't think we hear about them enough, considering how many hits they had. So exactly. I think we've done our part to call folks' attention to Five Star.
We did it.
So Five Stars for us today for doing that. If you want to get in touch with us, our website is offbeattrackscast.com.
And we are on Twitter at offbeattracks. Also, you can get on iTunes and rate us 5 stars.
Hey,
look at me.
We're on Google Play also. What's worth it? I don't know if the stars are their system there, but please drop us 5 stars there for 5 star as well.
It was 5 androids. I don't know.
We love you very much. Thank you for listening. And we'll be back next week with some Japanese pop, some Scottish Japanese pop.
Scottish Japanese pop. It makes sense. We promise.
See you then.